Hello and welcome to the 11th episode of the At U2 podcast, the official podcast of the atu2.com site, where we talk all things U2, including album news, tour dates, community discussions from the staff of At U2. We are once again live streaming out to folks, whoever happens to tune in from anywhere in the world at goodstuff.fm/live, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, I think is what we do this at. Right now, yes. But it's, 10:30 Eastern. And yes, that lovely voice you hear is Mr. Matt McGee, who's joining us again on the podcast. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you, Chris. I love when you say welcome, Matt. It's like reminds me of all my grade school jokes that everybody, it's welcome, Matt. And no, whatever.
There we go. I didn't even think of that. Now I know what to bug of. I'm trying to think if I have any real world friends named Matt. I mean, not that you're not in the real world, but you know what I mean. And also Sherry, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, Sherry.
Why, thank you so much. Whereas when I was about that same age, I would always be greeted with the Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons song.
Which one?
Sherry?
No, that would be Steve
Sherry Perry. Baby?
Sherry, that one.
There you go. We should have played Dumb a little longer, Matt, and kept it
going. Yeah, and had her sing the whole song for us.
Dude, I am in a singing mood today, aren't I?
Before we go anywhere any further, we have it's a very special day here for one of us. Well,
really?
Probably for all of us, but for one of us especially. And
happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
So honored.
And coincidentally enough, it's now legal. We can't get sued for actually using that.
I saw that.
Isn't in
that
audio. Yeah. So apparently the copyright ran out and whoever it was, or they weren't able to extend it. So there we go.
That's
now
fantastic.
We can play it. So Matt, you turned 25 or something?
I thought today was my 46th birthday, but my kids reminded me that it's my 47th. So I am older than I thought.
You're once again in your prime, Matt.
That's one word for it.
Oh my God.
Not the word I would choose, but okay, thank you.
Oh my God.
Christopher is even excited for you.
Oh my God.
And congratulations to Christopher. He and his wife, they welcomed their new set of twins into the world today. So congrats to him.
Yep, that's right.
Twins, I didn't... Wow. There you go. On Matt's birthday?
Yep.
So... I mean,
which is also Springsteen's birthday too. So
Springsteen's birthday, yep.
So I'm assuming one of the kids is named Matt, right? Is it?
I think knowing how much Chris admires me and appreciates me, I'm sure they're both named Matt.
Matt one and Matt two.
That was not in the 17-page staff manual.
It's part of the requirements that you.
It's funny. I usually hate my birthday. I usually cannot stand when people make a big deal out of my birthday. But something this year, I'm like, this is really cool. People are making a big deal out of my birthday. And I'm like, this is fun. We should do this more often.
Well, it looks like you got a great cake from, I'm assuming, family of some sorts made the cake for you. The U2.
I would love to say that family made the cake. But no, my wife has been a little bit too busy lately to do that. In the past, she has made our birthday cakes, but this was purchased at the local bakery. And yes, it's the E stage cake. It's fantastic. It's circular and it's got the yellow E on it. And then we got real nerdy and we put four candles on and I positioned them, kind of where each band member stands. So, Larry is over near the edge and Adam is to the left and then Edge is to the right. And then the rest of the whole big stage is for Bono. And so he's like out in the middle. I showed the two photos of it on Twitter and it's got like 25 faves already. It's incredible.
So who gets to meerkat the fan coming up onto the cake?
Is that where Matt jumps out of the cake or something? Is that how that works?
I should have done that. Darn it. That's so terrible that I forgot to meerkat the E stage segment.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. We'll put a link to the tweet with the picture in it in the show notes, which you can find at goodstuff.fm/atu2/11, just FYI. And yes, congratulations. Happy birthday, Matt. And
thank you. That was very kind of you to do the song and all that sort of stuff. It was a very nice surprise.
Well, Well, Sherry was the one who reminded me, and then I thought, oh yeah, we can actually legally do it now too. Not that I was ever that worried before in on podcasts in the past. As we discussed before we started recording officially, the previous episode had a little tease of a U2 song at the beginning, which most people probably picked up fairly quickly. But the fear is always that you get the wrong lawyer happening to listen to the wrong podcast, and all of a sudden podcasts get shut down.
So. Yeah, well, that did happen to us in the original version of our podcast 10 years or 8 years or so ago, whatever it was. And so, yeah, we'll try not to do that again. But
there is prior art here.
You only use like, you know, 8 seconds or so of it. So I'm sure that's fine.
Yeah, I think, I don't think Apollo will have a problem with it, but Larry maybe would.
You'll have to answer that again.
So, speaking of Bono, he is blogging again, posted on @U2, but also people probably noticed it all over the place, posted on medium.com over on that little blog. a rather good article anyways about titled Solar Fields, Sexist Poverty and a Modern Marshall Plan that I won't pretend to summarize or know all the details of and understand as well as he does, but well worth reading for a perspective on what's happening in Europe, Syria and around the world in terms of poverty and sort of where Bono is hoping things are going and where we could go.
It's funny the way you just introduced that. You said Bono's blogging again, posted on @U2. And then I thought, Bono blogged on @U2 and nobody told me about this and who gave him his password and all this. Sort of, like, what did I miss?
Happy birthday.
I've been meaning to explain that to you, Matt, but our paths never crossed.
Okay, that's fine. He's allowed. He can have a password. That's good.
As long as he enters it here.
Oh my gosh! Yes, of course. I thought that was interesting because Medium is like, it's kind of, and I think I said this on the thing on our homepage. It's sort of like become this hip, sort of, you know, popular, you know, kind of influencer thing that, you know, a lot of, you know, kind of big names are starting to use it more and more, and some companies use it as their blogging platform. And so I just thought it was interesting that he now is using that as another tool, and, you know, so hopefully it'll continue. I would assume it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see if it's just sort of a one-off thing. It is kind of funny when you go and you're like, you can on Medium, much like Twitter and other things, you can follow an author, a writer or whatever, and then you would get notified of new articles by that author and things like that. So in this case, it is actually like Bono's account, and you can follow Bono on Medium, whether he actually posts again or not. Yeah, like you said, we'll see, I guess. But if not,
do you guys think he does that himself?
Like the act of posting the article, or
yeah, I mean, I assume he writes it, right? Like he write, and then he probably. Do you think like he sends it to somebody and they copy edit it for him or something like that?
I think he posts. He probably has an assistant who helps copy, edit, post it for him. Like, does the actual posting? I just noticed on medium.com on my homepage when I'm logged in, I see that there's a comment left on his article by Melinda Gates for a day after, saying three things stick out to me about this excellent piece, Bono. The first thing, and she goes into like talking to him as if like in a comment, right on the. Where you'd think someone like that would just, you know, ring up Bono and be like, hey, great article.
Right.
But it's just kind of funny to get a little peek into the whatever celebrity, whatever rich ultra-billionaire people talking back and forth on a public platform like that. So
yeah, that's interesting.
Well, it should be pointed out that Greylock Partners is one of the VCs behind Medium. And I believe that there is some VC connection there. Between Greylock and some of the circles of influence that Bono hangs around with, so perhaps him moving over to Medium is trying to raise its profile a little bit.
Yeah, like with Meerkat, I think it was you that pointed out on a previous episode, or maybe a reference, something you had posted somewhere about how Meerkat is obviously part of or Bono's. Is that the firm, the gray, what did you call it? Gray hat? Gray cat? Gray something?
Greylock Partners. Greylock Partners is also, okay, here's where some of the connections come in. Greylock Partners is one of the venture capital firms that's behind Dropbox. Bono and Edge have invested in Dropbox. So when they get into their little tech circles, that's probably, as I said, probably why Bono is over at Medium, is to raise the profile and I scratch your back, you scratch mine type of thing.
Right. Yeah, it would be interesting. I wonder if somebody's done this already, and maybe it's something that, you know, At U2 would do eventually or whatever, but just sort of following the money that U2 does and you know, tracking this kind of stuff. And because it's not like there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously it's totally fine to use the systems that you invest in and thereby promoting them a bit with your sort of credibility and things like that in Bono's case. But it is just interesting to, like, just like with Meerkat, to find out, well, they're actually using that because they invested in it. And it's also a bit of, you know, it's not just that they like this technology and stuff like that. They have some connections there. So,
well, it's sort of like going to the 6 degrees of separation with Kevin Bacon. You can start to do that now with Bono. At some point, you can trace back 6 steps somehow how Bono has influenced either venture capital, has influenced the music industry, technology, the media. There are so many different areas where Bono's fingerprint can be traced now that I think that would be a very interesting article to do some research on, to see just how many places that intersection happens.
Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day when he was Elevation Partners, was something, maybe a subsidiary or something anyways, but that they're obviously using as an investment firm or whatever, a way to invest in stuff. And they had invested in heavily in Palm Pilot, I think it was, or I forget who it was. Anyways, the firm, somebody that eventually tanked kind of poorly.
Yeah. Yeah.
and, you know, slightly feeling bad for Bono that it felt like it was his big play into the tech world and like, oh shoot, that's too bad. It didn't work out for you, Bono. But,
and then, you know, Facebook happened.
Yeah, he's done okay. he's not really having to tour for money per se.
No.
Hat in hand. But
I don't think they're having any bake sales at the Houston household to raise funds at this point. So
exactly. So speaking of charts, which doesn't really relate exactly, but it's a segue we'll try and pull off. Sherry, you were mentioning earlier that Song for Someone is charting.
Yeah, this is blowing my mind. When I was scanning the radio dial in my local area, and I get some radio stations that hit Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and Song for Someone is starting to be played on heavy rotation on WCOD 106.1, which is like getting a first-rate movie finally at the 99-cent movie theater. You know, it's like it took them this long to get some quote-unquote new music down there. So looking at the Billboard chart, Song for Someone on the charts ending October 3rd, it's up to number 23 on the adult contemporary list and number 21 on the adult pop song chart, which is just boggling my mind right now. And then if you pop over to MediaBase, it's a top ad. It's second as far as the spin crease goes for adult contemporary. For the week ending September 19th, it's up to number 24. And on the Hot AC chart, it's at number 22. So it's both on adult contemporary and Hot AC on MediaBase, but on Billboard, you've got adult contemporary and now adult pop. So the song is definitely starting to branch out, and it's still got staying power in the US.
So do you think, perspective, I guess, on where that number is? Because it feels like you only ever hear about whatever song title A charted at number one in 1996 or whatever. And so you don't really hear about proclamations of like, it got to number 15 in the charts or whatever. But is this relative to what they've done in recent years, recent albums past, I guess, is this like good or expected or, you know?
This is fantastic.
Right.
you know, because you think about it, for the way that Songs of Innocence was released over a year ago, and the fact that, you know, everybody who has an Apple account had an access opportunity to receive all the songs for free, for it to get onto commercial radio, where radio stations feel that it's music that can drive listeners, that can drive advertising and all of that stuff, for whatever reason, this particular song has made radio executives feel confident that it can drive revenue for their station. So I have to wonder, had Bono's bike incident not happened, if we would have seen this with Every Breaking Wave, because it certainly had that potential. But for a song that's been available to radio going all the way back to early April, for it to still be charting at the level that it's charting at, and we're entering almost into October now, I'm just amazed by it. So, good job on whoever's plugging this, internally within the organization.
Yeah. So we'll see, I guess if like often, sometimes like they can't force it to go up the charts, obviously, but sometimes there's like a promotion that's coming in the future where U2 works along with some radio station and sort of gives them a bit more presence and stuff.
Well, here's the thing. The band is now heading over to Germany. Bono's going to be making a brief appearance at the Global Citizen event this weekend in New York City. But there's no real reason for U2 to be doing anything in the U.S. market. I'm waiting for HBO to start heavily plugging what they're going to be broadcasting in November. So maybe they're putting a little more emphasis on this to try to drive up the ratings for people to watch the documentary and the concert November 7th and 14th on HBO.
Yeah, exactly. And that's I can't wait for that, because it's the documentaries that HBO puts together. I'm just thinking of even the sports one. I forget what the hockey one was that they did, speaking as a token Canadian. but they were
I'm so, a Bruins fan. Come on.
Yeah, they were so well done, and just like a really intimate inside baseball. I'm mixing so many metaphors here. Inside baseball look at a sport. And so if they did legit give, you know, some serious access to the HBO crew on this, it could be a really interesting look at that whole time period in U2 history. So here's hoping, anyways.
I'm excited for you to actually see the show from Paris, Chris, because you haven't seen any of these shows yet.
Wait, I'm going to Paris?
No.
Oh.
No, the HBO broadcast of it.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Right. I thought there was like a reverse birthday present thing happening or something. That's what got me excited there.
You didn't get the memo about how we're sending you to cover the Paris shows?
We were going to bring up to you a hot tub time machine.
We did a Kickstarter and everything for
you. Yeah, nice. If you send me a hot tub, I'll do a podcast from it. especially in Canadian winter. All right. On that note, let's jump into the inbox. There's another great segue for you. So people who submitted questions this week, or the last couple of weeks anyways, to the hashtag ask at U2 on Twitter. And keep those questions coming, folks, as you think of them and want to send them in, and we'll discuss anything that you send in. And we're getting somewhat caught up on questions, I think, right now, looking at the documents. So if you have some new stuff for future episodes, by all means, be sure to send that in. Just throw the hashtag #AskAtU2 on your tweet, wherever you send it, and we'll be sure to grab it and talk about it in the future episode. So starting off, Doug Adams asks, any theory on why bad is so rare in North America when he, I'm assuming Bono, said, Ally was there, it was never played. Does she hate the song, or who is it about? What is it about? Yeah. Cherry, any theories on bad?
It's not really a theory. Bad is about one of Bono's buddies growing up who unfortunately became addicted to, what was it, heroin?
Yeah, but I don't think Doug is asking what it's about.
He's saying, I worded it wrong. Yeah.
He's saying, is that the reason that it doesn't get played more often because of what it's about?
No, it's because the spirit and the mood has got to be right for that song throughout the set. When Bad has been performed on the tour, it's always been during the encore, with the exception of Boston 2, when it was in the middle of the set. And I personally love it as the closer, the Bad 40 closer that we've been hearing in Europe for the past few shows, where on night four in a particular city, they've been closing with that. But in the U.S., it was performed, or actually in North America, because it was performed up in Vancouver. They save it for just the right moments. If they played it every night, it wouldn't have the same emotion to it.
Yeah, I think that's, I agree with that sentiment too. And as much as it feels like, sometimes some of the songs are like, they just perform them. And what's so hard about just putting on a song, we all kind of ascribe to the theory, or a lot of us YouTube fans anyways do, that they do put a lot of thought into why and when and how a song gets performed and stuff like that. And so it's something where they don't want to sort of waste it, so to speak, in as much as probably every fan who's at the show would love to hear it every, you know, every concert. So
yeah, and it was performed on 11 occasions on the first leg, and I believe there were 33 shows. So a third of the shows had Bad. It wasn't like they avoided it. It was just, was it your lucky night to get it or not?
Right. Yeah.
I think it's fine that it's rare. I think, you know, I'm guilty of this, and I've seen a lot of other people say, you know, the Amsterdam, the last show in Amsterdam, the last show in Stockholm, right? They both ended with, you know, just this epic, you know, Bad into 40 thing. And, you know, and everybody's like, oh, they should end every show that way. They should end every show that way. And I'm just, and like I said, I'm guilty of this too. But I, you know, if you step back and think about it, if they do that, then it doesn't become, then it's not special. And the reason we love it is because they don't do it every show. The reason that it has that, you know, weight and gravitas to it. Is that the right word? I think so.
Yeah. Sure.
It is because you don't hear it every night. And so if they were to do it every night, then, you know, after, you know, 2-3 weeks, people are going to be like, oh, they're ending the show the same way again. Can't they do something different? Blah, blah. So I think it's good that, you know, as much as I love Bad and want to hear it every night, I'm glad they don't do it every night, because it makes the times when they do it, you know, just that much more special. What was that?
You got the correct answer. Okay.
Tell everybody it's fun, Chris.
I had to try out my new sound effect.
Or something.
I just had to try it. We don't have any Stump Mac questions this time, so I don't get to use the buzzer. So I had to just try them out at least once. That's all. Sorry.
You can just use that if you like our replies or not.
Right, exactly. I'll be the judge, John Hodgman, as it were here. All right, we got a few more questions to go through. Steve Doza asks, is the second half of the show becoming as set as the first due to the popularity of October Bullets as Europa Streets? Matt, how about you? What do you think on...
Yes, it absolutely is. And I'm perfectly fine with that, because it's a fantastic show and everyone should be able to hear how great it is, and we have to keep in mind that most people do not see more than one show on this tour. And those of us that are tuning in to all the streams every time, we are in such the minority. It's, I mean, you can't, I don't think we have any business, you know, complaining about the set list, because what we are doing is so incredibly unusual, you know, to be the, you know, to listen to every show online, you know, three shows a week, five shows, whatever it is. It's just, you know.
Well, even the Meerkat, I haven't watched a recent one lately, but like the official U2 Meerkat stream that they put out, how many people do you see watching at a time? Like, does Meerkat show you? I haven't used the app in a little
while. Sherry looks at it every time, I think. Mm-hmm. So maybe she, when I tune in, it's usually like 900 viewers, maybe 1200 viewers, something like that.
Right.
And that's through the web. You get different counts if you're using the app. So I've seen people take screen grabs from what they have on their phone where it says mobbing and all of that other stuff. Plus, you have the potential of people actually logging in within the arena in order to send a message up on the screen as well. I don't know how many people actually do that, but you get all of the messages pretty much unfiltered going up onto the screen. So, you know, in New York, we had a couple Baba Booey's up there, for example. But
I guess what I was getting is like that, you know, relative to how many millions of people love U2 in the world, and even the YouTube fans
that are
on tech.
But you don't know when they are going to pop on. Meerkat will have a countdown saying, you know, tune in an hour and 46 minutes. But what happens is with that countdown, it doesn't click over to the live stream. If that live stream doesn't kick in when that countdown concludes, you know, they're taking an estimation as to when that part of the show is going to be happening.
Right.
And you cannot get to the link, at least I've never been able to, you can't get to the live link from that countdown link. So you can either log in through Meerkat and wait for all the different live broadcasts that are going on, or do what I've been doing and clicking on the Twitter link that will take you to it. And some people have had issues getting onto the Meerkat stream if they log in just as the swarm has either hit a particular peak, or once you click on it, you then have to sometimes log into your Twitter account or your Facebook account in order for you to heart it or to send a message or whatever. And it can get kind of clunky a little bit. But, you know, overall, I think that for the people who have been almost religiously following the tour live as it's happening on social media, we've been seeing similar numbers. The numbers are definitely higher on a weekend than it is on a weekday.
Right. And that's what I was just getting at, is like, it feels like it should be like, if you just think of U2 as this global phenomenon band, and here's like instant access to the band live as it's happening. And I know even when I've tweeted out links like to a Periscope feed or whatever, or shared a Facebook link, it's like for normal people, going back to what Matt was saying, quote unquote, normal people, not that we're not normal, but you know what I mean. We're recording a podcast about you too. There is something a little different with it. but they don't really, it's not like a big deal. Like they don't, and having like 1,000 people tune in when it feels like it should be like 60,000 would tune in or something around the world or whatever. I don't know, whatever the number is.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, the point you're making is right, because if, you know, like even when fans announce, who was it? Anita pre-announced that she was going to Periscope like the entire show from, was it Stockholm or Amsterdam recently? I don't know. Anyway, if I recall correctly, she had like it, when I tuned in the middle of the show, there were like 500 or 600 people viewing at that point. And then if you go out, you know, like to the Periscope homepage and, you know, or to the main screen and, you know, see whatever's being featured or anything like that, you're going to find streams that are much more popular than the U2 live stream. And so it's just, yeah, I think it's, I think I get the point you're making, Chris. I agree with you.
But I also have to think that it's based on the time of day. I mean, we had Tim doing his periscoping in Boston, where he hit the 5,000 capacity limit for his particular stream. I think that because of the time difference, the people in North America who could potentially want to link in, especially if it's a weekday, they're at work and they may not be able to.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's actually been great. I don't, for those of you who work at in an office, either like myself, self-employed, or you work remote for somebody and you're able to just throw on the stream wherever you happen to be. And it's kind of nice having in the afternoon now with in Europe, just being able to look forward to after lunch, at least for me, you know, putting on the live stream and just listening while you're air quotes working. So one more from Steve Doza. He asked, is the ticket list system working? I realize why it's happening, but as a fan, I prefer a ticket in my hand. I know we've talked a bit about this system before in previous episodes, but Matt, maybe just any further comments relative to what Steve
was asking? I think it's absolutely working. And I would point people back to the podcast when we had Beth and Chris on, just to talk about what happened in New York, where they didn't have the ticketless system for the GAs, and just all of the additional crap that it created, you know, day in and day out for each show. And, you know, I understand the, you know, the interest in having, you know, something you can hold on to, you know, a ticket, and some people collect them, the ticket stubs, et cetera. But I was nervous about this, you know, before this system started, I expressed on the website, you know, I think this could be a disaster, but it turned out to be, for the most part, you know, just really, really good. And I absolutely think it's working.
Yeah. And that's episode 6 of the podcast is when, which will be in the show notes too, but goodstuff.fm/at-u2/6 is where you can find that. We'll go next one at Chris K5771. Chances of a stadium tour 2016. Sherry, go.
I'm going to say they're slim. I think that we're still going to be looking at arenas during 2016. Then again, with Bono once again going on record that Songs of Experience will be coming out next year. I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm starting to get convinced that it's going to happen. If they were just doing a photo shoot with Anton, that you know, that they at least to some degree anticipate is going to be used for the album, that means they're at a point where they're getting ready to put an album together. That, you know, photo shoots with Anton don't happen
just for
let's go shoot some, you know, that to me is a sign that things are moving, you know, gears are turning, et cetera, et cetera. So I would not be surprised at all if there is an album in March and a tour shortly after that.
All right, there you go, folks. Matt's on record. You can remind him of that come the time, appropriate time. You'll know what to do.
Whereas I think we're still going to be doing arenas through North America. If there is a stadium tour, it won't be in North America in 2016. I think we might see it in 2017.
Man, that's a long tour. Which is great. And then I'm not complaining by any means as someone who hasn't seen the show, like Matt said. I'm hoping for way more concerts, but you're just thinking of the time frame of, like, for a band touring, it's a long time. And I'm excited though. So, oops.
Got a little bit of both. The name of
you're right and you're wrong, I guess. That's what I was trying to say.
Wow.
All right, moving along. Fabio Nomad asked, Berlin is another city that have special connection with U2. Can we expect an Achtung Baby surprise? What do you think, Sherry? Like, I'm assuming they're meaning, you know, some sort of extra touch from Achtung Baby, maybe just because that's where it was recorded, and Berlin, etc. Do you think?
Well, if you don't have the fly intermission for all 4 shows in Berlin, that would just be a lost opportunity right there.
But wouldn't it be like Willie to just like F up the mainstream and change it for the first show?
Wait a minute. What was it, Acrobat on Achtung Baby?
No, don't.
No, I think that we might see some sort of an Achtung Baby song on the E stage, maybe Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses, or I mean, you already have Mysterious Ways. You already have Even Better Than the Real Thing, leading into the E stage. So I think Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses would fit in perfectly in that. You might have a few bars of Ultraviolet, maybe, that we've already had that in some earlier shows. Actually, I think it was this week. I wouldn't put anything past them.
Yeah. Or something like even a Zoo Station, which doesn't really feel like thematically it would fit in this concert. But that to me feels like the most sort of Berlin-y Achtung Baby song. But anyways, yeah, we'll see. Oh, did you have a thought there, Matt?
No, I was just clearing my throat. Okay. Sorry.
It sounded like you're maybe upset that I suggested that.
No. Go ahead and buzz me out if you want.
I was waiting for the Berlin reference from the Achtung Baby box set.
Beth suggested that in the comments in the chat room. She said they should play Berlin.
Oh, there you go.
Could you imagine?
And going off that, riffing off that, I guess one more from Fabio is, what is the best U2 iconic spot in Berlin? I don't know. There's like the moment in the Stay video, right? That was filmed in Berlin.
Yeah, there's that, right, that big statue, Sigi Sol, or I don't know how to pronounce it, but it starts with an S, and has a lot of S's and L's in it, and a G. Sherry, wouldn't it be like the studios, Hansaton Studios?
Yeah. Yep.
That's got to be it.
An old place that still has Trabants, maybe. But you can do a tour in a Trabant. So that would be kind of fun.
And we should mention, too, and I retweeted this from the @U2 account earlier today, the folks at U2Tour.de have put together on their website sort of like a tourist guide, a U2-related tourist guide for the city of Berlin. Sort of like we have the Dublin guide on @U2. Well, they have a Berlin guide on U2Tour.de. So anybody that's listening and is going to these shows and wants to check out, because there is a lot of U2-related things there. So I would definitely check that website out.
And they are the Zootopia fan site of the week.
Yep, which is very cool. And they're such cool people, by the way. I've never met any of them in person, but we've traded so many emails with them over the years, and we've had them on. We had Dirk on, was it Dirk? Yeah, I think on one of the first podcasts we did, right? Five episodes or so ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I love the guys at U2 and the gals at U2Tour.de. And we met Sabine at, I think, in Vancouver, was it? Cool people.
Very cool. One more question, or two more maybe. We'll go. Val on Twitter actually asked live during the show here, Bono is invested with Meerkat, which we discussed earlier. What do you make of the U2 fan cast using Periscope? Sherry, we talked about this briefly.
I love it. Because what it's showing is over the course of this tour, the fans have been, you know, plugging on about this Periscope thing. You've got to do Periscope. Why aren't you Periscoping? Blah, 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 blah. And I think that it's phenomenal that they've actually taken a step back and say, well, if the fans are Periscoping, why don't we give it a shot? And it's been great because they've been popping on at random points in the show. For Stockholm 3 reboot yesterday, they popped on during Iris. And they popped on later on in the show as well. I believe it was during Beautiful Day. I could be off on that one, but it was definitely later on. Oh, it was for City of Blinding Lights that they had popped on. And then a couple shows prior to that, they popped on during Raised by Wolves. I was being driven crazy, by the way, during Tuesday show, because you had the Meerkat going on and the fan doing the meerkatting, but then U2 Fancast popped onto Periscope, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, which feed do I watch?
That's a real Zoo TV moment.
And it was a Zoo TV moment. But I think that it's their way to indicate to us, we hear you, we're going to play around with this too, let's have some fun, and whoever wants to play along, pop on. And people have been sending in their little comments to whichever crew member it is, and sometimes, you know, somebody will say, can we see Adam? And then he'll pan over to Adam, or she'll pan over to Adam, which is just great interaction where it's like you're at the show or you're not at the show.
That's a real Zoo TV moment when they do that kind of thing. I mean, think about that. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing they dreamed of doing back with Zoo TV days, right?
Exactly.
Right? Like, it's all kind of oddly predicting the future there with that one. But yeah,
very true.
But it's really cool, and I am so thankful that they're doing it.
So for folks who maybe don't follow along, if you have never tried Periscope, for example, maybe you've used Meerkat, Periscope, the link is in the show notes, because Periscope actually just also this week launched their profile pages or whatever, artist pages or creator pages or whatever, so you can actually link and look at them on the web without even having the app. But it's basically periscope.tv/U2, the actual band name, Fancast. And then the account name is U2 with just spelled out U2. Fancast. So 391 followers, and they're following one person, but I can't see on here who or what they're following. where I'm logged in anyways. But yeah, interesting stuff, and how just kind of funny how they're kind of doing it a little bit, you know, under the table kind of thing, and not going right out there and saying this is what they're doing. But, and who knows if that goes back to the money issue or investment money, and they're just kind of like saying Meerkat publicly and, you know, playing with Periscope because the fans are, which, like you said. So one more question, and from Ath Music Junkie asks, I'd love to hear a segment about U2's friendships with other bands. I'm also a bit biased when it comes to U2/REM. They've also mentored a lot of younger bands, so that'd be neat to discuss as well, which I agree. And we didn't prepare for that discussion this episode, but I think that definitely would be a thing to sort of trace back, just like we were talking about with the money, and just kind of like do a bit of discussion on a future episode for sure.
Yeah, let's put that down as a roundtable idea for a future podcast.
Yeah, and so folks, when you're sending in questions through the Ask at U2 hashtag, if this feels like we haven't gotten to it or answered it or whatever, it may be something that's like this where you've suggested a topic or an idea, and it would require a little more work than just us off the top of our head riffing. Some of us are better than others at it, but something that we're working on. So don't despair if you are. We will get to them all for sure. Last question is submitted by iChris. I don't know who that is. What is it with Sherry and Larry's plaid shirt? Sherry,
yeah, what is it?
Sherry, maybe you should answer this one.
That's submitted by iChris and echoed by fans the world over.
Well, for the other population who follows us, for the ladies, it would appear that on the North American leg, people were being very specific about following what Adam was wearing during Acts 1 and Acts 2. And in Europe, it would appear that Larry's getting a bit of that attention, seeing as Adam is now auctioning off his shirts in support of Walk in My Shoes. So apparently many of the fans, and I'm not sure if I count myself as one of them, there's a special blue shirt that they get really excited about if he's wearing that one. But as far as plaid, well, that seems to be the in fashion for fall. Just got a Target catalog in the mail, and they said plaid is in. So if Target's saying plaid is in, well, by golly, Larry must be getting some pretty good fashion advice, either that or he wants to look like a lumberjack, you know?
And is there there's the parody or whatever we call these things now, a Twitter account from his shirt, right?
Yes, U2 Larry's shirt, and they are, whoever's behind it is very witty, and I do enjoy the tweets that come from that. But you also have the parody accounts of Edge's legs on top of Adam, Bono's hair, all of those types of things, which we also talked about in episode 10 of our podcast.
There you go. So at the risk of giving exposure to something, anyway, I was just thinking it'd be hilarious somehow to have a discussion with a parody account, but I don't know how that would actually play out in reality, but if you're out there and you want to send in an audio comment, we'd be happy to play it sometime in the future, as long as it's appropriate. If it's just from Larry's shirt directly to Sherry, you can probably find your ways to get stuff to Sherry. All right, moving on. Awful, awkward segue number 3 or 4.
Wow.
You brought it up, Sherry. I just wanted to sort of discuss, I guess, the recent cancellation of the concerts in Sweden that happened. And
yeah, it was a postponement.
Or postponement, right, sorry.
So the latest news as of Wednesday evening, 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, comes from the Swedish paper, The Expressen. This is an article that was dated September 23rd. Published time was 12:05, their local time, that apparently there still isn't any, person who they thought was the suspect still has not been identified, according to the police station in Stockholm. So that's just really weird. When the ticketing issue happened where the scanners weren't working, there was a report that was published yesterday from the Expressen where the police department said that that was actually a cover to try to stop people from getting into the building, because at that point the alleged perpetrator had already gone in, and that they were trying to limit the people who were inside of the building. So as of right now, it's still a big question mark. People within U2's camp, there's basically, you know, a media blackout on any further information about that, and all that they've been doing is directing people to their official statement that they released back on Sunday when it had all occurred. Although, you know, leave it to TMZ to use the Sunday Bloody Sunday headline for that. You know, come on. Interestingly enough, for the makeup show that was on Tuesday, there were so many fans that could not come back for that Tuesday show that they that the venue had curtained off the entire top level of seats. So whoever had a Category 3 ticket, they received an upgrade down to the first level. The floor certainly didn't look as full as it normally did. And the venue itself was probably about 50 to 60% full overall. So that is a significant number of fans who traveled from outside of the Stockholm area who just couldn't reschedule their travel and transit to make it to the show. Bono made a comment from the stage during the concert saying, you know, I didn't realize how many people traveled. Well, when you're doing shows in only a certain number of cities and you're not hitting every country, people are traveling to see you because you're not traveling to see them. So it doesn't surprise me that number of fans couldn't make it out. Whoever did cause that whole postponement, I really hope that Bono's right about U2 fans showing compassion and grace and mercy towards this person, because I know a few people who would wring that person's neck for doing what they did.
Yeah, no kidding.
Drop of megalomania.
I was just thinking when you were talking about that, how like he's, you know, flying back to New York for an event and then flying back. He probably doesn't always connect with reality of the average concert goer for someone in Bono's position. Not that he's, you know, that high up in terms of what he puts out airs about himself, but it still would be hard to sort of remember normal life for the rest of us. But it was odd to me too that it was that empty, given that I just think of Europe as being, you know, fairly quick transit and stuff like that. But obviously, you know, if enough, whatever, 10,000 people had to get back to work and couldn't stick around, couldn't book a hotel, et cetera, all the, you know, there's a lot of extra costs that go into just beyond just sticking around for a couple of extra days and jobs and stuff.
And I think Stockholm's not exactly centrally located, right? I mean, if you put the map of where they're hitting this tour, it's, you know, it's pretty far off away from everywhere else. So it's probably not the, you know, if it was Paris or, you know, something, London, et cetera, you know, I think they'd have a better chance of filling a lot of those empty seats and selling a lot of those traded in refunded tickets.
Yeah.
What I'm really surprised about, given today's ability to look at the fans who bought tickets, if somebody were to go into the database and see where everybody's home address is when you purchase the ticket and look at the data, drive down into the data and see what the percentage of fan population is that traveled in, I'm sure that somebody working on the Live Nation side of things could actually generate a report that would show that, you know, only 15% of the fans who are at the show tonight are local. Right. You know, everybody else flew in from everywhere. I mean, there were fans from Brazil there, for crying out loud. So, you know, you've got people traveling across, you know, tens of thousands of miles to get to these shows. It's not for the local crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, which I often forget too, and that, I mean, it's a chance probably for a lot of people to, the reasons why are many, right? Like why they would travel that far, but seeing you two in a different place, seeing, and then also tying into a, you know, a visit to see Sweden or see Germany or whatever it might be. I know plenty of people I've checked through, you know, the YouTube fans that are following me on Twitter now and stuff as a result of this podcast, and seeing like comments from somebody in New Zealand who flew out to New York and all that kind of stuff to see the band. And obviously if you come from a place where they're not planning to tour or planning to go in the next little while at all officially, then, you know, you got to sort of take your chance when you get it. And so, yeah, it's tough though. That would be so frustrating. I could see, like, you know, planning to end your vacation, let's say in Sweden, and with this concert, and then you're heading home the next day and like, oh, thanks to some idiots, we presumably, or whatever.
No, that's a good word to use.
Yeah, a nice way of saying it. But issues aside, that, you know, ruins it for 50,000 people or 40,000 people or whatever it is that fit in the stadium, so in the arena. So anyways, I saw one report saying, and again, this is like stuff sort of flying around, that it was like an off-duty police person who forgot to, you know, remove their weapon or something like that. But they still haven't released any more details, like you said, Sherry. So
no.
Yeah, interesting. And who knows if, I mean, you too, obviously, will sort of move on and probably won't do any sort of press releases about it, and just whether...
It's the kind of thing that we will learn the story of years from now when there's, you know, an interview or a book or a magazine feature, you know, and it gets brought up when they're more comfortable about talking about what happened and what it was like. And I'm very curious to hear that story whenever they're ready to talk about it.
Is there, has this happened in recent memory, like on previous last few tours? Something
that- the only other time that it was a remote possibility, that I'm aware of was, in 1987, in Tempe, Arizona, where there was a threat made against Bono that was surrounding Governor Ev Meekum of rescinding the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday in Arizona, and that when Pride in the Name of Love was going to be performed, the third verse in Pride was supposed to trigger the gunman to shoot Bono. That story was covered in U2 by U2, and, you know, as history reported it, Adam stood in front of Bono during that point in the show. So if something were to happen, Adam would have taken the bullet for Bono. The only other time that I can think of wasn't about a U2 member, but it surrounded Salman Rushdie when he joined the band up on stage in Wembley during 1993. He was supposed to be in hiding at that point because of the fatwa that was called for him for what he wrote about with the satanic verses. But other than that, I can't think of any other time where publicly we were aware of something like this happening.
Yeah, it certainly is interesting. And like you said, Matt, the story behind it will be probably, you know, quite interesting, whether, hopefully it was nothing that extreme, like an assassination attempt or whatever, anything like that, and more just accidents and stuff like that, of something like that, like I was saying, someone bringing a weapon along that wasn't supposed to, and then setting off alarms and everybody kind of freaking out because of that, and reacting appropriately. But yeah, we'll see in a few years, I guess. So now they move on to Germany, and they're going to be on September 24th here. They're heading, which tomorrow as we record, so depending on when you're listening to this, it's either happened or is about to happen. For how many stops in Germany are they? I'm just looking through the one.
Four?
That's what I'm seeing too.
Yes. I was like, you guys were harmonizing on this. Four?
3, 2, 1, 4. Tour stops all sold out. There actually is a website called U2.com that actually lists/tour that lists all their stops, in case you're wondering.
Yes. There's also one called tours.atu2.com that likewise lists all their stops.
The only thing with tours.atu2.com is it went to the next page, and so I was waiting for it to load before I could definitively say four. The fun of the web. But like we said earlier, you know, it could be interesting stuff. It's certainly a city with much history, and U2 has never shied away from confronting that history. And so any comments on what you're sort of hoping or expecting or thinking might happen here? Matt, we'll start with you.
No, we talked about already, you know, what they might do. I suspect, actually, and you know, a lot of fans, you know, won't be happy if this is the case, but I suspect that what we have seen over Stockholm and Amsterdam, four shows, are similar to what we're going to get in the future cities that have four shows, Berlin and Barcelona, et cetera. I think this show is what they want to present to fans, and I don't expect a whole lot of, you know, crazy changes or anything like that. So,
mm-hmm. Do you think, Sherry, maybe your thoughts on this? A friend mentioned seeing you two, and she had gone to a few concerts in a row in the same venue, like say like Amsterdam or whatever. And there's kind of like, she referenced, like the first night is kind of like they're settling in, maybe jet lagged and a little bit rough. Second night they're settling into the venue and the, you know, their hotel rooms and just like anything like that. And by the third or fourth night they're kind of relaxed and going and you know, really loving the shows. Is when you're looking at going to a concert stay like this, like with four nights in Berlin, do you sort of assume that the first night might be a little rough and sort of on out like that?
I don't assume that's going to be rough. You know that the local news agencies are going to be at that show in order to plug the fact that you two are in town for the next week or so. So there's usually a lot more that the band is required to do with either meeting with the local newspaper or the radio station or TV outlet or whatever. It really ramps up when it's the first show on a particular leg, or you know, when it's the first show in London. I'm anticipating that one kind of being a bit more, you know, not exactly laid back, but you know, they're going to be on their A game. It's all business. By the time you, yeah, definitely get to the third or fourth show, they've not only relaxed, but the fans who are in the venue, those are the people who couldn't get tickets in most cases to nights one and two. So these are, on average, you're more diehard a fan, you're more aware audience who would really enjoy a deeper cut. So I think that you will get a better set list if you've been a longtime fan on nights three and four. The only caveat to night four is chances are they want to get out of Dodge really quick because they have to go on to the next city. So the show may feel a little bit more rushed than the others. But at that point, for the small population of people who have seen all the shows in that particular city, that's when they'll throw in a different song or you know, end it differently. That's why I've been happy to see the Bad 40 combo on night four thus far, just because if you're going to every show, you're getting the most full experience you can. They haven't copied the show from night one to night two to night three to night four exactly yet. So that's been a good thing. You know, you've got the different song in the song two slot. You've got two different songs once they get onto the E stage after they do Mysterious Ways. And then you've got the question mark of the closer. That seems to be the four areas where the different tracks can get folded into the set. And then of course, until Willie decides that it's time to change the intermission video.
Right. And for those who've been following along, Sherry, you've been doing a great job of live tweeting the concert as you find Mixler, Periscope, Meerkat feeds to people and retweeting and other folks too at YouTube. I know Tasula did one show, I think, but I know you've done a lot of the shows and been doing a great job of, as I read along. I always think of it like in this day and age, and this may sound like a criticism of the idea, but I think, well, why does someone need to live tweet it when we can listen? But I always find myself like, if I didn't tune in, I see something Sherry has tweeted, like Bono just did, I don't know, whatever. I can't think of anything off the top of my head or whatever, but something happened in the show and like, oh shoot, I should be listening. Why am I not listening to this?
No, it's true though. And I've had that. We've actually had this conversation, Sherry Tasola and myself, and I'm usually the one saying, you know, it's okay if we don't live tweet these shows, you know, people can listen to the live stream and all that sort of, but you know what? It never fails. Every week, somebody will thank us on Twitter for doing the live tweeting because they're in a meeting and they can't listen, or they're doing something with their family and they can't listen. And so, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know, you know, it may only be, you know, 10 or 20 people, but it's, I mean, it's a service that's being provided to a certain population that is unable to listen. So
it's also been very interesting to see the transformation over the shows and when they go into a different city, especially on this particular leg with the refugee crisis issue going on, how forward Bono is in that particular country. You know, in Sweden, he was praising that the country was embracing the refugees and trying to help out as much as they could. Whereas in Italy, he was quite bold in telling them that they need to wake up about what's going on and so on and so forth. So having that conversation going throughout Europe and being able to follow along with, well, you know, where's the band's sentiment tonight? Where's Bono going to take this? How emotional is this show going to be? What VIPs are at the show? That sometimes you can follow what the narrative is and then realize, well, you know what? Bono met with the prime minister yesterday. That makes sense why he's saying this from the stage. So, you know, not that I'm part of the documentary crew that's filming this, but being able to make as many shows as I've been able to with the generosity of all the Periscopers and Mixlers and all the people who are sharing on the social stream, we've been able to really follow his narrative across across the tour. And there's some nights where he is on fire and the comments are pointed. And then other nights he's like, "Hey, let's have a show." So I've really enjoyed that time at the end of I Will Follow before he goes into Iris to see, well, what is he going to be preaching about tonight? Or, you know, just how on fire his speech is going to be during Bullet. How emotional is he going to be going from Zooropa into Streets? You know, there are key points in the show where you know Bono's going to address the audience. And those are the points where I'm waiting to hear, you know, almost with bated breath, okay, what is he going to be on about tonight? And I'm typing away furiously, and I hate the fact that Twitter only has 140 characters sometimes because Bono won't shut up. So, you know, that's when you've got like 17 tweets all with brief snippets of what Bono is saying because I'm trying to get the whole quote in. So
you're on the fly, man. That's it.
There he is, interrupting you again.
So, you know, on that note, I've really enjoyed having the ability to sit in and to almost catch every single show thus far. It's been brilliant.
Yeah, and folks in the chat room, good, interesting name, which is good. And Fabio again is in there as well, commenting on how sometimes we're in a meeting, just like Matt was saying, and can't listen and prefer the tweeting. And then going back and remembering, like, oh yeah, Sherry tweeted, or whoever was tweeting, but tweeted about, you know, this song or whatever, and catching it on YouTube or maybe a Periscope replay or whatever and stuff like that. And that's definitely a great way to sort of catch what's. It's kind of like the equivalent of a sports fan who, you know, listens to the color commentary on their favorite sports ball team and then, you know, catches highlights later on or whatever. It's a similar idea, I think, if that's a fair comparison. I don't know if that ruins it or not, but okay, coming up, I think that's a good spot to end it. Obviously my brain is out of words, and we will be back next week with the podcast, and but in the meantime, there's a few things you should check out. You should definitely check out Tasola's new OTR column on At U2, titled U2 and the Seduction of the Screwtape Letters. Link to that will be in the show notes. Matt, you wanted to mention there's a hangout happening tomorrow night, Thursday night.
Yeah, right, exactly. Thursday night, September 24th. Again, depending upon when you're listening to this, it may have already happened, but at, I think it's going to be 9:30 Eastern time, we're going to do a video chat with our very own Kelly Eddington, who does our Octoon Baby cartoons. And we're just going to chat with her about all the cartoons she's done. I mean, not every single one. I don't want to give that impression. But we're going to talk with her about her Octoon Baby cartoons, favorite ones, what it's like to she has a very unique perspective. If you saw the Octoon Baby that she just did about her experience seeing the U2 show, you kind of get a little taste of what her experience is like as a fan, because she draws them so expertly, for lack of a better word. And so I just thought, you know, it'd be fun to introduce her to people and let folks ask her questions, and we'll just kind of share in the brilliance that is Kelly Eddington.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of Lil U2. I love Lil U2.
Yeah, if you I'll put the link in the show notes, but you can, if you want to sort of do your own research before the chat, because you'll have opportunity to ask questions and things during the conversation. If you visit at youtube.com/Achtoon, A-C-H-T-O-O-N, you can see all the past, and it's, you know, sorted by year and stuff. So it gives you an idea of what was going on in U2 life at the time when she drew the various pictures and stuff. And yeah, come and check out the chat and or the conversation in the video chat will be great. I know what I was going to say before when my brain farted is the time zones thing, just for people who are curious. Berlin and Sweden, if I've done this right, Sherry can correct me if I'm wrong, which I often am, are in the same time zone. So things should be roughly around the same time as they were, if I'm right. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Wow. That is deserving. Yeah. I'm going to ding myself there. So coming up on the podcast, though, we wanted to get some fan submission stuff. In addition to the Ask at U2 questions, we're going to do a segment in a future episode, not the next episode necessarily, but a future episode of sort of U2 bucket list items, things that you maybe want to go see, or places you'd like to see the band, or ways you'd like to sing along to a song. I don't know what it would be. Maybe you come up with you. It's your bucket list. It's not my bucket list. I'll share mine on a future episode, but any of that kind of stuff, and maybe it feels really obvious to you, but we'd love to hear it, and we'll share it and sort of group them all together. If there's a whole bunch of people who say, you know, wanting to visit Joshua Tree Park or whatever, you can send those in to basically Matt. It'll be webmaster@u2.com. You can be linked to, say, if you want to record something with audio or video that you throw up on YouTube or somewhere on the web, a link to that, and we can incorporate it into a future show. It can just be a paragraph of text. Maybe you have a blog post already somewhere with a bucket list that you want to sort of reference. We'd be happy to throw a link in the show notes and stuff and sort of discuss those things. Just kind of something to, I guess, talk about and discuss, and maybe give other people ideas of things they could try and do and check out on their YouTube bucket list, as it were.
I really want to do the Twirly World dance with Bono, and it doesn't have to be up on the stage. I'll go on record with that right now.
Ooh,
there you go. So, and we'll do our best to, I was going to say, get the list in front of U2 somehow. No, no promises there. And also what's coming up.
You sew it into Larry's shirt. We could get it to Larry.
Throw like a USB key on stage. Do you think they'd go check out an MP3 someday? Like, no, don't give anybody any bad ideas. Coming up on Saturday. Someone just put this in the notes, so I don't know who did, but Global Citizen concert is on Saturday, live broadcast on MSNBC, iHeart radio stations. Anybody help me out there?
Yep, that was me. MSNBC is going to be doing a live broadcast from beginning to end of the Global Citizen concert. And iHeart radio stations, if you go on the web, I believe they're going to do the same stream, but the local radio stations are going to be picking up on the feed at 7 p.m. Global Citizen is an organization that Bono's daughter, Jordan, is a founding editor of. So it runs in the Houston family. So that's pretty cool. And Bono is supposed to be showing up at it. I don't know if it's in person or video link or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see that on Saturday.
Yeah, I was just looking at the website. Pearl Jam, Beyonce, Ed Sheeran, Coldplay, and other celebrities showing up. So
not a bad lineup. And Stephen Colbert is one of the MCs for the evening.
Yeah, Colbert and Salma Hayek and Hugh Jackman, apparently. Olivia. Anyways, somebody for everybody, whatever your interest might lie. Not Larry's shirt, though, Sherry. So it doesn't look like Larry's on the bill.
It's so dreamy, Chris. So dreamy.
All right. I think, Matt, any final words before we end this episode?
Yeah, my tweet with my birthday cake is up to 42 faves now. This is awesome. Not that I've been checking it while we record the podcast.
I was gonna say.
A friend told me.
That's all right. It's good to... I've never checked stats on any of that kind of stuff. I don't look at it. I don't...
No.
I just don't...
Very vain. Yeah. We're not like that.
All right. So if you are wanting to check stats on things like how many people are following the @U2 Twitter account, you can visit twitter.com/@U2. That's also where you can send in questions using the hashtag #AskAtU2, and we'll catalog those for a future episode.
Facebook. 43 faves. Chris LeClaire just faved it. Woo! Thank you, Chris. Fabiano just faved it. 44. This is awesome.
What's the...
It's really rude.
Okay, go ahead.
And previous episodes of the show, and where you can find this one, goodstuff.fm/@U2. I'm talking fast before Matt.
Sherry just saved it 45.
Drop of megalomania, touch of generosity, dash of self-promotion.
I'm sorry.
There we go.
Flora just at 46, though. You better wrap up, Chris.
All right. Thanks, folks, for listening. Please go favorite Matt's tweet because his self-esteem depends on it.
He's 47.
Oh, that's your birth year or birth year. How old you are, right?
It's reached my age now. Oh, this is
okay. Okay, everybody stop faving it now. It's perfect. Perfect number. Anyways, thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Matt, for joining us on this podcast. My name is Chris, and we will be back next week with another show for you. We would really appreciate it if you can follow the links through to iTunes, throw a rating or review in the iTunes machine, and that helps the word get out about the show. iTunes is kind of still the big grand poobah of iTunes listing services on the web, and rating a review on there kind of alerts them to the popularity or not of a particular podcast. And so your rating or review is much appreciated and helped with getting the word out about the show. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.